The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and with my husband, fellow realtor Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Very good.
With us for the second week in a row is Mark Kies, director of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association. And we also have on the phone with us Virginia Centrillo, psychic medium. Good morning, both.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so great to be back.
Thanks for coming back with us. We appreciate your time and your discussion. Last week, we had a fantastic discussion. We talked about how we know if we have a spirit or a ghost or a haunting in our homes, the telltale signs, what to look for, that we can be doing some bad things, inviting these spirits, good, not so good spirits, into our homes by attracting them with games such as, it's not even a game, but people think it is, the Ouija boards.
I don't like Ouija boards.
And there's also angel boards, and they could be also bad invitings too, because Virginia, you mentioned who you're talking to is not who you think you're talking to when you're on these things.
You can actually provoke a situation because you don't know how to really work it. They don't have good instructions. It takes a lot of prep in order to do it, to work with those boards. And you have to know exactly what you're doing. And you have to know how to close it down. It's quite interesting how it works. But, you know, everybody's interested in it, yes. But at the same token, you don't understand it really. And is, you know, the instructions are nothing. Just place the board, do this, call upon whatever. No, there's more to it. There's more to it. There has to be a protective barrier between you and who's doing it with you.
Well, when I was young and mindless and I had all the answers, maybe my late teens, I did one time use one and I never touched it again. I had this awful, awful, horrible feeling, and I, thank God, had the sense to just never touch it again, and I got it out of my life, out of my home. But I could understand, you know, people want to talk to their loved ones, and I could understand that they want to hear what the spirits of the universe have to say, but it's inviting trouble. Now, Mark Kies, director of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association. Tell me about your team and what you do, please.
Well, the PPA is a paranormal resolution team, and that means that we go out and try to identify what is causing the activity, what the intent behind the activity is. And in the end, working with Virginia, we try to resolve the case by releasing whatever ghosts might be stuck at a place. And one thing that I always warn people about when they first call us, and this is good information for people buying a home. If you should move into a home and you start noticing some things that are a little bit odd, don't panic. You have to find out the intent behind the type of activity that's happening, because people are so programmed from watching TV and scary movies that the first thing they jump to is being frightened that, you know, either themselves or loved ones are going
to. That's what they jump to, that conclusion, that it's a negative situation, we're possessed.
Exactly.
They go off onto a whole other tangent about it. So it's not what you think it is, exactly what Mark is saying.
So our goal is to go in and to, you know, try to find the intent, number one. Why is the specific type of activity that's happening in a particular home actually happening? And once we can do that, we can then work with that person who is stuck there and try to, you know, release whatever issues they're having and get them out of the home.
Okay. So are you busy?
We are busy. We actually
every weekend
work. Yeah. Just about, depending on the type of case, every weekend, we do what we call full comprehensive cases, where if you've watched any of the TV shows, we go out and set up all the equipment, video cameras, audio recording equipment, and try to document physical activity, as well as working with Virginia to tap in on whatever spirits might be there. But we also do condensed investigations where Virginia will go and do her thing, and we might have a little bit of handheld equipment that we use to try to document anything that might happen. And sometimes people don't want evidence. They could care less about physical evidence. They know their house is haunted and want whatever's there out. So we'll just take like Virginia and myself and go into a home. Virginia goes right to work just on identifying who's there and releasing them. And I work with her, you know, to do that the best we can.
Mark, so
yes,
you,
we
you,
actually work together on that to facilitate the energy to begin the process. But one of the things that Mark didn't say is that we have a historian that backs us up. So whatever names we come up with, we can usually find them in documents.
That's true. And we tested out Virginia, and she'll say we've tested her nerves, her patience.
Still to this day,
we test her quite a bit before we put her on, and we do that by basically comparing her information with what the clients are reporting, what historically happened there, and any names that she comes up with. And a lot of times, you know, she'll just come up with an initial for first or last name. Other times she'll come up with a first and last name. And we have a historical researcher who we want to put those names at the property somehow. We want the connection there so we could back up her information. And wow, we've done that. We did a house that was nearly 300 years old, and we had to go back 200 some years old, but we found the first and last names that Virginia came up with.
Oh my gosh.
So I just want to talk about you in your day job. You're a state trooper.
Correct.
Right, you guys have been on television for Destination America on that channel.
There's
correct?
A show called The Haunted that we've been on many times.
And you've written a book.
I have. It's called Chasing Shadows, A Criminal Investigator's Look into the Paranormal.
So you're not just some hamburger. You're serious about this.
Well, I wanted to put a team together.
No, he's not.
I want to put a team together of professional people coming from professional occupations, including the state police. When we first started, our team was made up of three troopers. We had two guys from the FBI. My wife was actually a real estate realtor at the time, and she did a lot of our property research. For us, you know, we have, a dentist on our team, an attorney. So all these people from professional occupations we wanted to bring in, school teachers. We
don't
have
forget your
those.
Disclaimer.
Yes. And my disclaimer, I am a trooper, but the views and opinions of this guy are not those of the Pennsylvania State Police or any of its members.
Okay.
All right. So you guys are serious about
we
this.
Try
you know
to
what?
Do...
'Cause when I think about this, I says, oh, Ghostbusters, you know, there's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, you know, and then I think about goofballs, you know, who would be doing this. But you seem very, both of you seem very sane and sober people to me. So,
oh, you're so wrong. But thank you.
Yeah, you are. So, yeah. I'm in construction and I own the trucking business. So there you go.
Oh, boy.
Well,
that's a little crazy.
Let's talk about the book, Chasing Shadows, please.
Yeah, the book basically came from doing a lot of lecturing. And I noticed people were asking a lot of the same questions over and over. And I had the ability to put myself into the metaphysical community and the paranormal community and go witness a lot of things for myself. A lot of people don't have the ability to do that. And when I started, and still to this day, I wanted to take a very objective look because there are so many different opinions out there. You know, are hauntings real? Are hauntings not? Psychic mediumship real? Can psychics actually come up with information?
Well, there's a lot of people that think that this is, you know, all made up, a hoax.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I wasn't sure when I started.
I don't blame them.
I wasn't sure.
I'm still walking around going, is this really happening? No, but, and you're talking to a medium who does this work.
Yeah.
I've been doing it over 30 years.
And unless
I'm still walking around going, where's the cameras?
Unless you experience a lot of this for yourself, it's really hard to understand.
Well, it's easier to deny.
Yeah.
It's easier to deny and then have to think about all of this, right?
Right.
So I wanted to find out. I wanted to bring in, like I said, a professional bunch of people to take a look at this very objectively. And we started out first just looking at the physical aspects of a haunting and trying to document what we could. But I was also researching psychic mediums. And, you know, I've worked with several, and Virginia, you know, just blew us away when we started working with her and allowed us to study her as we work. So I wanted to put her into haunted locations and see how that reacted. And could a medium actually stop a haunting?
I just didn't like him poking me with the machinery. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, we have a lot of technical equipment that we also
use.
So
do you get rid of the hauntings? Is that what your team does? Or just is there somebody else that has to come in?
No, we try to do that as a team. We work together. Virginia is sort of the lead on that. At the end of the night, we turn the home over to Virginia. We work with her any way she needs.
Okay.
There are some cases that maybe, like 99% of the cases we handle. There are a few cases where Virginia might say, I'm not quite comfortable hitting this case with just us. We have all these other resources. Let's say voodoo happened at a particular place. And although we know a little bit about that, but let's bring in somebody who deals with this on a full-time basis to work with us on that. And, you know, we might come back on a second visit to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I thought maybe you were there to establish, yes, there is something paranormal going on here, but you also can take care of the situation.
Yes, correct.
We're a resolution team. We definitely 100% a resolution team. That's why I was so proud to be part of this team, because we weren't just there to poke and figure out. We were there to actually actively help these people and teach the homeowners how to live in their situation, because some of these houses are just so old and have so much history that sometimes things aren't supposed to be meant to be moved on. Sometimes they just stay because it's part of the history, like Gettysburg and stuff like that. Those souls have to stay behind because they're still working issues out. There's such history there and there's such belief there that they don't want to leave yet. And then some are just residual hauntings, meaning it's a loop that plays over and over again and there's not really a spirit there at all, a ghost there at all. It's just something, an emotion that's being relived because it was so dramatic, either very happy or very dramatic.
I see. Okay.
And we teach these homeowners how to work with those kind of energies.
And then there's the really, really negative situations where you have demons and
correct,
it's demonic. So, you know, we saw something.
Yeah, we were watching that Destination, and there was a guy from the Connecticut Paranormal Association, and he came in and he says, listen, I can't help you. He says, because this thing is following me home, and he says, I can't help you anymore. So they actually went and they got a bishop. It was all on the same station that you were on.
And you know, we find that every now and then we'll get a call from a team that says, we went and investigated this house or something negative there. Now I have it happening at my house where they will ask us to, you know, not only help them, but the original clients. And there are a lot of different teams. If anybody out there ever has any issues where they are going to be calling a team in, ask a lot of questions. You can ask for references and ask what you do. Because a lot of teams,
what backup they have? What backup do they have?
Right. Do you have the resources
associated with them,
to go forward?
A reverend associated with them? Whatever. A rabbi, whatever. Ask those questions and ask about his credentials or her credentials.
A lot of teams will just go in and investigate and try to confirm a haunting. And that's kind of where they end. So, you know, they might turn over some evidence to people and say, yes, we think your house is haunted. Maybe, you know, do a saging or call in a priest or something like that. But it's honestly almost like going to the doctors for medical illness. Sometimes it's trial and error. We'll go in and do a few things. And a lot of times it'll work. But sometimes, you know, depending on the personality on the other side you're working with, that won't work. You know, why would a Jewish ghost care about a Catholic priest coming in? So
right,
there's a lot of different faiths we work with.
Me just address one thing. I'm sorry to cut you off. She was talking about a demon energy. That's very rare. It's not as not like what you see on TV. It's
no,
very rare we come across that. And if we do, we do have backup for that. We can call upon clergy. We're very fortunate in that end. It's very, very rare that we have that kind of situation. I've been doing this work for many, many years, and I have to tell you, I must have came across it maybe 5, 6, maybe I'll go even 10. I'll count my fingers. I have 10. There you go. I mean, it's not as widespread as you think.
All right.
Really
I'll consider that a good thing.
Thank goodness.
But if someone suspects that they have a dark spirit, is there something they can do? Is there a tip to clear that energy?
A lot of times people think they have something dark because of the behavior. Understand something. When somebody passes in a certain particular way and they don't know they died, they can act out by pushing people down the stairs. I mean, how would you like to go to your house, come home one day, and someone else is living in it? They can't see you or hear you, and you're wondering, what the hell are they doing there? So you get aggressive. So a lot of times people mistake that as a demon situation where they were shoved down the stairs or their hair was pulled, because they're getting intense. You know, they're their anxiety is causing them to act up even more because they don't understand. That's where we come in. Now, as far as anything demon, we will go and assess the situation, and then we have a meeting on what we need to do next. So usually a clergy is called in at that point.
Gotcha. With us today is Mark Kies, director of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association, and Virginia Centrillo, psychic medium. The contact information for your team, please.
To get in touch with the PPA, the easiest way is through our website, theppa.net. That's THEPPA.net.
Excellent. 2017 National Association Realtors Profile of Home Buyers and Sellers.
Yes, what do buyers and sellers look like this year according to the longest running buyer survey in the U.S.? Well, the share of single female buyers has increased for 3 years to 18%. So in 1981, it was just 11%. So today it's 18%. And also, sellers typically lived in their homes for 10 years before selling. In 1985, the median time was 5 years. So it's increased. So people are staying in their homes longer.
Very good. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM. The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break.
How smart is a Century 21 agent? They have more brain power than a barrel full of Einsteins and the gentle wisdom of a monk. They know your city, your neighborhood, and they might even know your mom, so watch your language. They can simplify, multiply, and leap tall mountains of paperwork in a single bound. Plus, they know where to find the best cup of joe. This is who they are. This is what they do. Century 21 agents. Smarter, bolder, faster. Each office is independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.
Call 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
And we're back with very interesting...
Very intriguing.
Very interesting conversations.
Yes, we have Mark Kies, director of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association, and we also have Virginia Centrillo, psychic medium. Virginia is joining us by phone. Mark is here in the studio with us, and you guys are part of a team, a paranormal activity team.
We are. The Pennsylvania Paranormal Association is a paranormal resolution team. So with that, we go into... homes where people feel they have a haunting going on. Most of our clients want them stopped. And we identify what's causing the activity and the intent behind the activity. And at the end of the night, we try to resolve the case. And I'd say we're probably 99% successful. There's because of certain conditions, some cases that we just can't stop. But, we can't force nature to change. So, you know, some of them we just can't stop. But our team works for people who, may not really understand what's going on. And just because of conditioning from movies and TV, people are very scared most often when they think they have a haunting going on in their house. And there's something that just observing cases, that's one of the things I do when I go out. I talk to clients and try to understand what they're going through, what they're witnessing, and why they're reacting to the type of activity that they're experiencing. Because a lot of people react very different. Some people absolutely love it, and some people want to burn their house down as soon as the door opens by itself. And it's such a variety. But there's something that I've come to call the ghost effect. And that is when someone has a very real or perceived experience that is very emotionally upsetting to them. It's intense. And every little thing after that that happens, whether it's paranormal or not, becomes the ghost did it. So people are conditioned to think every little odd occurrence.
Tell my mom.
There you go. Everything that happens gets lumped into this big ball of haunted, and people are working themselves up into a tremendous situation where they feel there's all this activity in the home. And a lot of it is very easily explainable. They just aren't seeing it now because, you know, they saw the ghost, something big happened, and now that's where their mind is. Every little thing that happens is the ghost did it. So we try to keep people calm and again, explain to them that you have to look at...
They become overly sensitive. They think everything, every noise, everything that happens in their life, then they start blaming it on that situation. They become hypersensitive to the situation. It's really interesting. And, you know, we try to comfort them. So when I come into a house, excuse me one second, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when I come into a house, one of my jobs are, you know, I know nothing until I walk into a house. Nothing at all. Mark walks in. He does the walkthrough with them first. I wait in the car. He comes and gets me. I do the walkthrough, and I'm pretty, what would you say, about 70% on the mark on what goes on in the house when what Mark was told. So I walk through the house, and by me telling these people what's going on in their own lives without me knowing anything, actually comforts them and brings them down from that anxiety level.
Yeah, I think just by knowing who's in your house and why certain things are happening is mm-hmm. comforting to people. And at the end of some cases, you know, people have even said to us, well, you know, now that I know what's going on, I don't really want him out of here. It could be a little child that's in the house. And
we have to help them go over on the other side. That's why we were there. We don't want these people lost forever. You know what I mean? They need to find the light again.
And then there's some people who try to use the ghost angle to try and sell their home. There's a home in Dunmore. Actually, it's very close to where I live, and he had put it on one of the real estate sites, and it said
it was a for sale by owner.
Yes, for sale by owner, slightly haunted home.
And that made national news.
It was actually part of a skit on Saturday Night Live. You know, they do that news.
Yeah.
This is, there's the home that's slightly haunted. So this guy, or woman, this person, let's put it that way, would be gender neutral.
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know who it was, but they said they would be standing in front of the mirror, and they'd be looking, and they'd see somebody behind them in the mirror or something like that, so...
We don't know if it's true, because he was interviewed, and, like, the newspaper interviewed him, and we don't know if it was fabricated or if it's the truth. Well, how do you know?
No, you tangible evidence, right? You can't, what evidence? You can't prove it either way.
And there's such interest in it right now that, you know, people have purchased homes knowing the history that it has been believed it was haunted. And we worked We worked on a case down in Wapalapan, which actually was right across the river from the nuclear power plant in Berwick. And, you know, the house had quite a reputation, and it was sold several years later to a gentleman who wanted it just because of its reputation.
Right.
And it's one thing we find is there's such a mix of responses by people. Some can't get enough of this, and other people may have something very insignificant, very, like you said, slightly haunted going on. And because of that person's faith who moved in there, they feel they have a demon in the home. So it's just, you know, perception really that people have that would either cause them to feel that something is going to harm them, or, you know, someone who just sits back and watches what's going on
and actually enjoys it.
Yeah. When you could, you know, calm yourself down, look at things objectively, and you actually get to witness some of the stuff that goes on in these homes, it's absolutely astounding to see. And quite frankly, I think most investigators would say addictive when you see physical things happen. You know,
you
want to try to understand
about what you've seen happen.
Well, I think Virginia could agree with me. There's a home just outside of Philadelphia called Upper Darby that we worked on, a home that the clients were reporting so much activity that I thought they were exaggerating. And not until we got there, you know, we learned they weren't exaggerating at all, but they had doors opening and closings. They were seeing shadow figures. Objects were being moved. They would leave the house for, say, an hour and come back home. Things would be thrown off the shelf. The refrigerator door was open and food on the floor. They were reporting quarters being thrown all over the house throughout the whole entire day. Lights coming on and off. The clients had neighbors who would say that it sounded like a party in their house when no one was home. And we went in and experienced just about all of that. We physically saw quarters being thrown. We captured that on our video recorders, doors opening and closing. We captured shadow figures in the house with nobody in the house, you know, toys coming on by themselves. Virginia, you picked up on you know, with your impressions, a lot of activity going on there.
Yes, yes. We actually, again, not knowing where I was going, what I was doing, my stepbrother drove me there. I had no idea where we were going. And I started to get information. And when I walked in the house, I started to go around. And I was sitting at one point, and I said something about money missing. He didn't take the money. He doesn't know what you're talking about. And that's when we heard something go across the floor and drop. And then we realized it was a quarter. Then when Mark started to review the footage, he started to pick this stuff up. It's very hard to see at one point, but when you slow it down, you can actually see quarters being thrown, like in one particular bedroom. But as we went back many times to this home, I mean, he actually has footage of me in the basement, and all of a sudden, you see a quarter just drop out of the ceiling, and the same thing goes with another teammate, an excellent teammate, Paul, who actually had the same experience. And also, whoever was in this home loved the equipment that we had. So they were really checking out the equipment and everything, which I picked up beforehand. I said, they're going to be very interested in your equipment. And they touched Paul's hand. They moved the door where the camera was. It was some interesting house. And the people finally moved out of it. And we tried our best to help. But
don't
there
blame
was
them.
So much going on in that home that, you know, it was very difficult to really keep it quiet down. So the people actually moved out. They're in Florida right now, but the home itself, after they cut the electricity, still was on. The neighbors would call them up and say, the electricity's still in the house, but there was no electricity. So it was a quite interesting. That home we'll never forget.
Well, I'm going to take a stab in the dark. Not all hauntings are exactly alike. Not each case that you work is at all similar, right?
Exactly.
They're all different.
No.
I think we learned
different.
Something.
I never know what I'm dealing with until I get in there. And, you know, again, thank God I have Mark with me, because he really helps me facilitate energy and help spirit go over. And I'll tell you, you just don't know. We don't know what's there, who's going to come for them. We have sometimes family members who will come from them who have been waiting to take them. We just never know. We don't know what we're dealing with until we walk in.
Well, we're quickly approaching the end of the show, but I want to talk about, for the next couple minutes, Mark, you're the author of Chasing Shadows, which is a criminal investigator's look into the paranormal. Tell me a little bit more about that book.
Okay. It really covers a lot of the impressions that I got, going from, again, what I call an optimistic skeptic to someone who now goes out and tries to resolve cases for people. One of the things that I write about in the book are observations that I made just watching the clients and the type of activity that's going on, and then listening to Virginia and getting her impressions. And what a lot of people don't understand, that the living can actually be the cause of the type of activity that happens in a home. And what I mean by that is, if you have, let's say, a very religious family that had lived in a home, for whatever reason they died, and let's say the man of the house had stayed behind, and a family moves in where there's a lot of drug use and profanity and maybe some domestic violence going on, things that this gentleman who had died did not agree with, there might be a lot more aggressive activity towards that family that just moved into the house, compared to a family that moves in who goes to church every weekend, very loving. So a lot of people don't think of that, but quite often the living are also a cause of the type of activity that happens.
Got it. And Virginia, you said something about when people buy a house, people don't.
Oh, yes. Yes. The homes usually pick the person. The person thinks they're picking the house, but it's really the other way around, because they need help, or they have the same situation that happened in that house in their lives, the buyers. And again, the house picks them. They move in. They experience something because they have to look at something or understand something in their own lives. You know, the Creator really has a plan for everything. There's a plan for every little thing that happens in our life, believe it or not. And for some reason, these people move in and they have to experience this because they have to look at something in their own lives. And a lot of times these people are experiencing these things is because they're beginning to open. They're just like me. So what they're feeling and sensing is because they're gift. They are gifted. And we're all gifted. It's just tapping into it. So this is an awakening for them on many levels.
This is great stuff, and we thank you. Again, Mark Kies, director of the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association, and Virginia Centrillo, psychic medium. We really thank you. Before we close, please give me your website address, please.
It's www.theppa.net, and the book could be found on Amazon.com.
And the book is called?
Chasing Shadows, A Criminal Investigator's Look into the Paranormal.
Thank you so much, guys. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.